Father in heaven, we worship such beautiful, deep, and rich hymns and songs, expressing our hearts, our desires toward you, Father, and understanding your heart and your desire towards us, and coming together in fellowship. Oh, Father, it's a beautiful thing. Grant us grace here today to open our hearts to you, the things you want to say to us. Thank you for your word. We treasure it highly. We esteem it and we love it and confess that we love you, Father. We love you, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We honor you today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Blessings to each one this morning. I want to continue from the message of last week. Some of you were not here then, but that's okay. You can listen to it on tape. But just very briefly, last week's message was a message on righteousness, which is by faith, taken out of Romans chapter 10. And some of the points there in that chapter is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that righteousness, which is by faith, it also talks about righteousness, which is not by faith, which is righteousness by the law. We looked at what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, taking the verses in chapter 10 there, that the Word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. And that was the general thrust of the message last week. There's a lot of scriptures on my heart here this morning. I trust that God will convey His heart to all of us in this area of faith. God has been working in my heart in this area for the last 8-10 months. And I confess that I am still at a place of being greatly challenged in how to actually walk this out. Sometimes I feel like I'm this little boy trying to wrap his arms around this great big tree, you know, just trying to reach around and just can't do it. And it just sometimes feels like this issue of faith is so easily slipped out of my hand. It just seems like it's so easy for us to live our day-to-day life without actually endeavoring or utilizing faith according to God's Word. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I don't know which scripture to read first, but I'm going to start here by God's grace. Hebrews chapter 4, if you have read chapter 3, the writer speaks about how the children of Israel, they followed Moses through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. But it goes on to say that they fell in the wilderness because of unbelief. They did not continue to walk in faith. They did begin in faith, but they did not continue in faith, and therefore they died. In verse 19 of chapter 3, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, speaking of the land of Canaan. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The challenge for every one of us as Christians is to take the Word of God when it is preached, or even when we read it, is to take that Word of God and mix it with faith, and then that when that is mixed, when the Word of God is mixed with faith, it produces something. And that's where the challenge lies. There are many men in the past 6,000 years who have left a mark on the generation around them or on society. And you can go into Hebrews chapter 11 and read the story. Let's turn there. Read of those men who clearly left a mark on their generation around them. Each one of these men is specifically, men and women here, they are specifically, there's a very specific note about their lives, and it is by faith. And if you're like me, you probably have put them up there on the platform somewhere, and I'm down here. But in all reality, everyone who is a Christian, born of the Spirit of God, I believe has the same opportunity and access to that platform of faith. Every one of us. But it's up to me what I do with what I hear. And it's up to you this morning what you do with what you hear. Not only by my mouth, but also by the Word of God. It's up to you what you do with it. One of the purposes to have the Word of God preached to us, to come to church, is what? Yes, we like fellowship, right? But isn't that one of the ultimate purposes for God's Word being preached to us, is that we might be changed? I want to be changed. I want God's Word to change me. But if God's Word is going to bring, if God's Word is going to benefit me, I must do something when it comes to me. I must take that Word and mix it with faith, and then it will produce something. But this is where we lack. We don't exercise. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, they heard the Word of God, but because it was not mixed with faith, they did not profit them. And I can say this morning that if you're here this morning, and if you're not going to exercise faith, the Word of God is not going to profit you either. So may God help us to exercise faith this morning. I believe the devil does not want the children of God to get a hold of this powerful truth. This is a very powerful truth. This issue of faith. I'm going to preach to you about the principles of faith. Some of the substance, the foundation of faith and how it works out as I have understood it, as I understand it, and I'm still learning on it. But the devil does not want you to get this one. Because he knows that the person who would step out in faith, in the Word of God, taking the Word of God and exercise faith with the Word of God, that person cannot be stopped. And this is why we're not experiencing the fullness of the power of Jesus Christ in our lives, because we are not exercising faith. Anybody who wants to win a race, anybody who wants to win a specific kind of race, he will exercise himself in that specific area that he may win the crown of that is there before him. But we, as Christians, need to exercise faith. The devil doesn't want us to get that. I remember as a teenager, before I was saved, and even as a young married man before I was saved, and even since I've been saved, I've heard about, I remember especially as a teenager, hearing about the Holy Rollers, the name it and claim it people. And even since I'm a Christian, I have heard about the name it and claim it people. Or the Word of Faith, they call their church the Word of Faith Church. And so forth. And because of some of the stories that I've heard, it kind of makes me back away from what I hear them teach about. I would like to coin a little phrase here this morning. Instead of calling it, name it and claim it, I'd like to say, hear it and claim it.
I believe it is fully biblical for you and I to hear the Word of God and then by faith exercising what we hear and putting it into action and claiming that which we've heard. That's the principle of faith. But we can't actually go through life without exercising faith. And we will be weak Christians. That's very clear. Look at Romans 4:16. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 4:16. We're going to go through some scriptures here to lay a foundation. Romans 4:16 is where Paul's writing about faith. And he gives this little note there as he talks about the law and about faith and about grace. Instead of working to be saved, and it's believing to be saved, and instead of working to continue in your salvation, it's believing continually. And in verse 16, therefore it is of faith. And why is it of faith? It is that it might be by grace. And this simply says that God, grace is that which comes from God. Grace is that power that comes from God which enables me to do God's will. And the only way that I'm going to experience grace, this is saying, is by faith. Therefore, it is by faith that it might be by grace. In other words, you're not going to be able to work for this one. God wants to get the glory for your life. God wants to get the glory for everything you do by faith in Christ Jesus. Abraham is an example for us all there. I want you to look at this just a little bit further. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, he's quoting Old Testament again, I have made thee a father of many nations. God said to Abraham before Abraham had children, I have made thee a father of many nations. Was Abraham a father? No, he was not per se, but he was a father. It was already spoken. God had said it, and because God said it, even though it was not a physical reality, Abraham believed it by faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Before him who believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they are. And this is one of the principles of faith, is to call those things that be not as though they are. Who against hope believed in hope that it might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. You see the key, there's several keys in this today, and two of them are very clearly that which was spoken. In other words, that which God has said. And in order for me to do something with it, I have to hear that. And so faith comes by hearing, and what is it that we hear? It is the spoken Word of God. The inspired Word of God. Hearing and speaking. Those are two fundamental, foundational issues to walk by faith, is hearing and speaking. Not just name it and claim it, oh, I'd like to have this. No. But rather, it is hearing that which God has spoken or is speaking, and then by faith, mixing that up by faith, and then speaking it and proclaiming it. And you will see it come to pass according to God's Word, not according to my Word. Abraham, who being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He considered not his own body now dead. And this is, again, one of the core issues of faith is when God speaks His Word into our hearts and lives, it doesn't matter what physical looks like, it will come to pass. Are you with me? He considered not his own body. And now that, and this is what so hinders faith. We'll get more into this later on. But the physical reality, quote, of my dead body, it says Abraham did not consider that. But he did not dwell on that in his thoughts, but he dwelled on what God had said. And that's the difference. It's vast. Hebrews 11. We could read all of Hebrews 11. I'm going to start at verse 32. In light of those who heard the word of God, and as I go into this chapter, I mentioned it, I think, last Sunday, how that the important part, again, is hearing. Abraham heard God speaking when God called him out of his country, and Abraham obeyed. Noah, being warned of God, God spoke to Noah, warning him, and Noah followed through. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob and Joseph. They believed because they had heard. They heard from their forefathers. They heard of the promises. And they, when they were dying, they spoke of that which was to come by faith. Moses, his parents hid him by faith, and so forth. Rahab the harlot was perished not because she believed. Verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David, Samuel and all and the prophets. I don't know if Paul was running against the timeline or not. But he said, I don't have time to talk about all those guys. But they're there. What did they do? Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others, and this is the... I want you to get this one. Did you see the switch there? Did you see the switch there? The great and wonderful things that were done by faith. But then there's some here who suffered and died also in faith. They continued in faith. It's not all just wonderful miracles out there that you see in the beginnings here. No, but it speaks about trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds, imprisonment, stoning and being sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, dens and caves in the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided them some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So we see that faith is not just an active thing that makes miracles come to pass. No, but faith is also that which gives me endurance in the time of tribulation and trial and difficulty. Because this really is where we need to exercise faith at all times, is when the storms of life come by, when the waves get higher than our heads and we feel like we're going to go under, when we stand at the top of that ridge and look down in the valley of discouragement, like I mentioned last Sunday, that's when we need to exercise faith also. Persecutions and so forth. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I noticed just in Thessalonians, Paul wrote to them, he's writing to them, and he says, for this cause, he talks about what they did when they heard the gospel. You received the gospel, you heard it, and God worked in your lives. But listen to this verse. For this cause we also thank God without ceasing, in Thessalonians 2:13, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, they heard it, right? You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. When Paul preached to the Thessalonians, they heard the preaching of the word of God and received it as God's word, not as just the word of some men, but as God's word, which is what it really was, the truth, the word of God. And now look, notice this and this. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Word of God worketh effectually in you that believe. This is what we're looking at. If I were to draw a graph up here, you know how graphs look sometimes. You have points here and so forth. If I were to make a graph of faith, what are some things the Bible talks of? Let me see. What are some of the descriptions of the measure of faith in the Bible? Someone give me one. Size of a mustard seed. Okay, we got a mustard seed. What else?
Little faith.
Great faith. I just read in Romans, Abraham was not weak in faith, right?
Full of faith.
Full of faith. Okay. Is there a small faith? Then there's also unbelief and doubt, right? Which would be a negative sign on this side. That'd be unbelief and doubt. Now, how much faith does it take for someone to get saved?
Mustard seed.
Mustard seed. I just want you to get a little picture of what I'm trying to say here is, the first steps of faith is the elementary faith, which is what you exercise when you hear the preaching of the Word of God, and then you believe on the gospel unto salvation. That is an elementary, first grade, may I say, step of faith. And I don't know how big to draw that graph over here, but I think it's pretty small. Right? But then we have great faith, which would make that graph goes way out of the top. Great faith. We think of that, right? Then you have others that might be small faith or weak faith and I don't know where little faith, all those come in. But when you read about the mustard seed, what does it say that a mustard seed will do? The faith as a grain of mustard seed will do what?
Grow?
Move the mountain. And if the faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is, I think, pretty small, if that faith will move a mountain, how much more will the rest do? Think it over. Again, the main principles here. This morning is the Word of God, the Word spoken and the Word materialized or realized. The hearing of the thus saith the Lord and the speaking of thus saith the Lord and the realizing of what God has said. Another way of saying it might be that the inspiration from the Father, the speaking of the Word by the Son, and the quickening, or the bringing it to pass by the Spirit. We have a Trinity here, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We understand that in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were created by... And I'm going to be reading out of this... book by Norman Grubb on Touching the Invisible. I do want us to get this, so listen carefully. This is very, and I say this is strong meat this morning. For those of you who are exercising faith daily and getting stronger and allowing your muscles of faith to grow, you'll be able to hear this, I believe. To those of you who are not saved, you probably can't hear this today. Last Sunday was the Sunday to listen carefully for those of you who are not saved. And I would long and desire to hear whether any of you have made a decision since last Sunday to become a Christian. to be saved. I believe the gospel is so simple and so clear and so pure that whosoever will may come and drink of that water of life. We know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God did it with His Word. And it says the earth was without form and was void. But then it says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. We also understand that the Spirit of God is a quickening power. I think of verses in Zechariah when the angel came to Zechariah there at the time of the building of the temple. And the angel said, it says in chapter 4, verse 6, "Then he answered, spake to me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." This was the angel speaking to the prophet Zechariah. Listen carefully. "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." This is a crucial verse for us, because if anything is going to happen by faith, it is the work of the Spirit bringing it to pass. How do I say that? It goes on there, says Zechariah 4:7, "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstones thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." We're talking about moving a mountain here. There's a mountain standing in front of Zechariah, and the word of the Lord has come to him and said, "Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain." And this is the type of thing we see in the New Testament when we are given this scripture there about the seed, faith in the seed of a mustard, grain of mustard seed. "It shall, if thou say to this mountain, be thou removed, it shall obey you." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the word of the Lord came furthermore to him and said, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house." Now listen to this. "His hands shall also finish it." Do you hear the prophetic voice there? "And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you." The very important thing for us is that we hear the word of God. The word of God was given here to Zerubbabel that he would know. And how would he know? He would know it when the foundation of the house would be laid and finished by Zerubbabel. Then he would know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. This is what the angel was saying. This is just one example of, I believe, hundreds of examples of how that when the thus saith the Lord in the Bible was given and how things come to pass. 1 Corinthians 15 says that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. When I think of that word quickening spirit, what does that mean? What does the word quickening mean?
Make alive.
Make alive. Okay? It means make alive. But what else? You are alive, aren't you? Does the Spirit of God only quicken that which is dead? No. The Spirit of God continues to quicken that which is alive also. Are you with me? Jesus said in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Romans 8:11, "But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken also your mortal body." So what I see here is that the Spirit of God is that which quickens or makes alive or brings to pass. It is, may I say, the power of the universe that makes things happen. When the Spirit of God brooded over the waters in the beginning, that is when I see that there was a quickening, that there was a how should I say? Sometimes we talk about vibes. We get into a room and there are certain vibes that are, or it feels like there's tension in the air, right? Or we come to a certain place, house, or a certain home, and there's a sense of peace there, right? The Spirit of God is that which quickens. Without the Spirit of God, there would be no wind. There would be no sound waves. There would be no ocean waves. And the Spirit of God is that which I understand is the quickening force in the universe. Pulsating life continually. Are you being continually pulsated by the life of Christ, by the Holy Ghost? So many things there. First, let's look at the hearing. Or let's keep on going here. I'm reading from this book now. As we look at the creation, we can read in John. John gives us these points. The Word, the Son, is begotten of the thought or thinker, the Father. From the Word proceeds the creating Spirit. Let there be light was in the creation, the beginning of creation. Let there be light was in the beginning, was first in the mind of the Father. And that thought then, finding definition in the Word, Christ Jesus, proceeded with creative authority from His mouth. And that Word took form by the Spirit as He brooded over the dark waters. This is very deep stuff, I realize, but hear me through. The Father thought it, the Son said it, and the Spirit produced it. This is creation. This is the creative process of God. God thought about the trees, and the Son spoke it into and the Spirit of God brought it into existence. That's the principle of creation. Now, this is what we understand about the creation of the worlds. What about the new creation today? I think this will help you see it clearly. To produce the new creation in Christ Jesus in man, the unchanging God could only use this one method, which is His own nature in action. The Father conceived the plan of salvation, right? The Son gave it definition by His incarnation, by His death and resurrection, and declared the creative Word with authority. I am the way. Come unto Me. And the Spirit brings to life, brings to being the new life in you and I. Are you with me? Make sense now? The Spirit, the activation of the Spirit of God working with man, produces new life. Yet more important for our present purpose on this issue of faith, however, is the realization that the Godhead who now indwells regenerate man still works and only works by this one unchangeable process. The Father now thinks His thoughts in man. The Son speaks His creative Word of faith by the man, and the Spirit manifests the substance through man. It is God that dwelleth in us to will and to do His good pleasure. Simply what He's saying is that this issue of living by faith, and the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And the key here is hearing. And when I read God's Word, you know how God's Word sometimes leaps off the page. And God speaks to me from that verse. That's the hearing of God. God is saying something to me specifically when that happens. And when I hear that, when I recognize that, then I do something with it. Because God gave it to me for a purpose. Are you right? But if I don't exercise that which I have now heard and begin to speak it, claim it to come to pass, it won't profit me anything. But if I, by faith, take that which God has spoken to me and speak it into existence, may I say, that's rather scary, right? But I believe this is what this, and if you look at the Bible, you will see this is what the men of God did. They said, "Thus saith the Lord." They said those things in faith, but they said that "thus saith the Lord" because they had already heard from God. Thus they could say, "Thus saith the Lord," and it would come to pass. This is the principle of faith. Are you with me or not? The Father thinks His thoughts in man. The Son speaks His creative word of faith by man. The Spirit manifests the substance through man. One responsibility lies with man. Only one. But it is so pivotal that all the outcome is attributed to this one activity. What is it? Man must carry out this process of faith. It's not the angels. It's not God, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's not the cows or the animals or the birds or the fish. It is given to man. Man, there's one thing. He must carry out the process of faith. Fallen but redeemed man has to arise and grasp the whole, the heights and depths of the fact that he's a son in Christ and he's together with the Son and that he is now to cooperate with this recreative process of the Godhead. At regeneration, by the mercy of God, when you got saved, man believes almost mechanically. God's thoughts regarding sin are revealed to him and in him. This is at salvation, right? Remember what it was like? God's thoughts revealed to you. Sin became exceedingly sinful. God's word of salvation, Jesus Christ, was declared to him, was preached to him, and God's creative work by the Spirit was wrought in him. Do you follow me? This is what happened to salvation. All by his simple act of honest reception, his first elementary exploit of faith. His first exploit of faith is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, how many of you are still at that place of walking your Christian life out with that measure of faith? Do you want to continue living at that, I don't want to call that a low level necessarily, but in the other sense, yes. God wants you to grow. I want to grow in faith. Jesus often spoke about this, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you not believe?" I mean, over and over again, he exhorted his disciples, "Why didn't you believe? Only believe." In the storm, in the sea, in many, many areas, in casting out demons, in healings, just over and over again. This issue of faith is so big. It's so vital. And I believe most of us are satisfied without exercising it very much. What about the words that Jesus said, "Greater things than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. I'm going to send the power from on high. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send Him to guide you, to teach you. Ye shall be endued with power from on high after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." But we seem to be so satisfied without walking in the reality that God has provided for us. I know He has. But if this person is going to go on as God's co-worker, he has to be trained in the laws of divine working. Faith, initial faith for salvation, wonderful, a great change. That faith alone has wrought a miracle in our hearts and lives. Amen. But we must go on. And there are some, like it says in Psalms 103, it speaks of Moses. It speaks of the children of Israel who saw his acts. They saw the acts of God and they believed God in a sense. But Moses needed to know and understand God's ways. And that's a lot deeper. And there are Christians who just kind of enjoy seeing what others will do or seeing what God will do through others, but they're not willing to step out by faith and to learn of God's ways and to begin to exercise that faith which God wants them to. God's servant has to learn not merely how faith gives entrance into the heavenly life, but also how faith maintains as a reality the union between man's regenerate spirit and God's spirit. That region of abiding in a simple, single-eyed, pure-hearted relationship where God's thoughts are revealed inwardly. Does God reveal His thoughts inwardly to you? He does, doesn't He? Do you act upon those? Do you exercise those things? Christ's word of authority is spoken through human lips and the Spirit's mighty works manifested before all the world. The thought of faith is expressed in the word of faith, resulting in the substance of faith. The thought of faith, the word of faith, results in the substance of faith. Now faith, what is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance, is that right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that really mean? I remember as a young Christian, that verse boggled my mind, and it still seems to boggle my mind. I try to get my arms around that verse alone. Now, faith is the substance. What does that mean? It simply means that this word substance, if the picture there, is a foundation. It's that which is real. It's that which is down hidden underneath. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the invisible. We're looking at the spiritual. That's the substance that is there. You just don't see it with these eyes. Right? As we then apply these truths to our situation, one thing becomes obvious. God is to think His thoughts in us as Paul said in Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. Many then ask, is it possible to know God's will confidently in all situations? And you might be there too. Is it possible for me to know God's will in every situation? I believe it is. I believe it is. And that, the first part is needful, is that God speaks to us. Is that we hear the mind of God. We know His will. Brother Elmer stopped in yesterday. He's a man of faith. His dear wife, which he loves so deeply, has rejected him for the past, 25, 30 years. But his words yesterday were, she's going to be saved. God is going to save my wife. And God is going to save all my children. And my grandchildren. God is going to send them to the mission field. He didn't say, I hope God saves my wife. No. Evidently he has heard. At least that's what it appears like. But so this is where the problem comes. If it's God's will that everyone be saved, then I can pray in full assurance that that such and such a person should be saved. It is God's will that that person be saved. And as I join together with that word of God and join that with faith, mix it with faith, then it is my faith exercise which actually enables God to bring it to pass by His Spirit. Or is that not what we're reading this morning? Am I saying something that's too far out? The word of faith must be brought into action. And is it not at this point that God's people constantly fail? This is where we fail. Was not every one of the men of God in the Scriptures characterized first by being a man who had inward movings and assurances of the Spirit, and then by outspoken declarations of, "Thus saith the Lord," the word of faith, which was the outcome of interior guidance, hearing from the word of God, for it is the word of the Lord as the necessary outburst from the thought of the Lord, which the Scripture testifies to be almighty. Why do we stop short of this? It is because we are still so carnal. "Oh, ye little faith," Jesus would say. "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I suffer you?" Here's a definition of carnality. Carnality is to be under the influence of the visible, of the tangible, and the temporal things. That's carnality. Are you under the influence of the visible, tangible, and the temporary, instead of the influence of the invisible, intangible, and eternal? What are you being influenced by? What is it that is the guiding factor of your life? Carnality, spirituality. We fail to bridge the gap within us between God's thoughts and God's word of faith because we are bound by the domination of the visible. Abraham did not look at the visible, he looked at the invisible. And therefore he could continue to focus and believe it would come to pass. We see the blind eye. We see the withered arm. Christ saw the will and power of His Father to heal and spoke the word, "Stretch forth thine arm, receive thy sight." Thought of John chapter 9, where the blind man was healed. And I pondered that a little bit in light of this, and I thought of, well, Jesus could have just said, "Be healed," but He actually forced the blind man to go do something. He made some mud with spit and put it on his eyes and said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Well, his eyes are dirty. He does need to wash it off. And sometimes God puts us in a place like that where we're almost forced to do something by faith too. I mean, that's what I saw there. And this blind man got someone to lead him to the scent to the pool, Siloam or scent, and there he washed it off and he saw. But the word of Jesus was, "Go and wash in the pool." Okay. How often do you hear from the Lord, but you don't go? You don't wash. And you don't receive sight. To the man who had the withered arm. You know, he's sitting there, his arm is withered. He's looking up at Jesus, and he can't move his arm, you know. But Jesus said, "Stretch forth your arm." And the word, Jesus spoke the word, and by him speaking that word, something happened. The Spirit is involved in making things happen. Quickening. The Spirit is that which quickens, brings to life, makes it alive. And the man, when he heard the word, "Stretch forth thine arm," he mixed that word with faith, and he made an attempt to move his arm, and by him just believing that his arm would move, and he began to move it, it moved and was healed. Do you see what I'm saying? The steps of faith. If the man would have said, "But I can't move it, Lord." No. Jesus said, "Do it." All right, it was done. It was healed. But we see the withered arm. We see, like the disciples, when the 5,000 there, the loaves and fishes. Five loaves? I mean, look at this big crowd, Jesus. What are these among so many? That's what they saw. They're bound to the visible, remember? We're bound to the visible. But I think of Fanny Crosby, and she was not bound to the visible. She was a woman of great faith. Why? She saw the spiritual. She saw the realities. Jesus, when he saw the loaves and the fishes there, and he saw the 5,000, what did he focus on? What else did Jesus see? Can you see beyond what your physical eyes see? Jesus, he saw his Father's invisible, unlimited supply, gave thanks for it, and received it. Acted on the full assurance of it, and faith was seen to be the giving of substance of things hoped for. Well, I think you will learn, and I also am learning this. We have one great enemy to faith. It is that within us. It is not our circumstances, but it is the fear of the invisible. I'm sorry. It is the fear of the visible. I doubt whether anybody here, as a Christian, in this past week, did not face some kind of an obstacle where you wished that thing would move. Right? You just wished that mountain would move. But there's one thing that, there's one enemy here that we have, a major enemy, and that is the visible. That which we can see with our eyes. We know the inward urges of the mind of God to some extent. We also know the next step, not to ask for faith, but to exercise it. Why ask for what we already have? If the author and finisher of our faith dwells within us, and all faith is there already for the using, why then ask for more faith? We must declare that what we desire, His desire in us, and this all goes along with abiding in Him. Abide, when you abide in His Word, you shall ask what you will and it shall be given to you. So there is an issue of abiding in Him. But we declare that which we desire, which is His desire in us. You know, when we're fully consecrated and yielded to God, then His desire becomes our desire. Our desires become one with His desire. We declare that that which we desire will come to pass. We declare it that it will come to pass. Thus saith the Lord. And then we add the word of faith, which is adding that word of faith to the thought of faith. Then the battle is begun. Now, okay, so I've got this mountain over here that I believe God has spoken to me about, that mountain shall be removed, but it's still there. The problem is still there. Whether it be a lack of finances, maybe. Whether it be some food for your children, like the orphanage in England, who believes God for food for his children daily. And God provided over and over again by faith. Lord, you're going to supply breakfast for the children this morning. And God did. He did. These are not just, yes, they're men of the Bible, but there's also men in recent years who have exercised the same thing. And we love to read about them, don't we? Huh? We love to read about them. Just we look at them, wow. They're way up there somewhere. Just, I don't know how they did that. Sure would be nice. the battle is joined. The fear of some visible giant paralyzes us, whatever it may be. The vision of the flesh lusts against the vision of the Spirit. Right? God has spoken it, but it's not coming to pass. What do I do with it? With patience and endurance, I hold fast to that which God has spoken to me. In Jesus' name, we break through. We declare the word of faith. We've heard the word from God. And we say things like, that mountain shall move. Those children shall be fed. And how could George Mueller do that? He believed that God was the father of these children. He was a caretaker for them. He believed that God would feed them, regardless of what it looked like. And he said, you know, that's where his faith was joined together. In 5 minutes, they're going to be sitting at the table, and there's no bread here. But God is going to feed the children this morning. And because he believed that God would take care of them, he had read in God's Word how God cares for them. That's the Word of God. Now it's activated by faith in his own heart and life, and he declares it with faith, says, God is going to feed us this morning. And someone comes, knocks on the door. I have some leftover bread. Could you use it? Yes. He declared the word of faith. The word, if we are rightly abiding, is spoken in the same power and through the same person who made the declaration at the earliest dawn of history. Because that person dwells in us. When he said, let there be light. It is repeated again and again as occasion arises, the word of faith. Not prayer necessarily, not aspiration, not hope, but praise and declaration and a quiet reception of a supply already given. A calling of those things that be not as though they were. And we do that. As we do that, the manifestation of the thing believed comes to pass as surely as harvest follows the sowing. God's thought, God's word of faith, and God's substance. This is God's order in himself at the creation and in us as his instruments of the new creation. I think some of you have kind of lost it, right? You think I'm going off in deep end. But I challenge you. I challenge us all. What about my walk of faith? Where am I at in my level of faith? Are my muscles weak and flimsy? Am I not even interested in going on? Am I still at first grade in the area of faith? I do believe that if we could get a hold of this as a body, if we could as individuals begin to exercise this kind of faith, God would do wonderful things. We would see the Word of God come to pass afresh and anew as we trust Him. There is so much more that could be said. I'd like to look at one other area that I believe that every one of us can put this into practice. And this is an area that I think every one of us as Christians would really desire to have. And that is it possible for me to know clearly or to hear clearly or to get clear direction from God for my life today, or for my life? For example, maybe you need to move as a family. And so you say, I don't know where God wants to send us.
Maybe you're called, maybe you want to go to the mission field. I don't know what it is, but is it possible for me to have a clear direction from God? In other words, how do I obtain guidance from God? I believe that God wants to communicate with us. Do you believe that? When you pray, when you spend that time with God in prayer, is it a one-way conversation? Okay, so if it's a two-way conversation, is it a two-way conversation? It's supposed to be, right? So if I'm talking to God, that's one thing, but what about when God talks to me? Does God talk to me? And not just in my quiet time, but God can speak to me anywhere, any time of the day. He can speak to me when I'm in the midst of a noisy place of business. He speaks in the quietness of my heart. He speaks in my heart. No, not from this ear. Not through this ear, necessarily. Although He can use brothers and the Word of God preached to speak to me here through this ear. But generally God speaks to us in the heart. Is it possible for me to have clear guidance, to know for sure it's God's will that I go this direction? Is that possible? Yes, it is possible. And I believe it's not only possible, but I believe that God wants to give us direction. But so often, we are too busy to take the time to really lay aside, step aside and really hear from God on even big issues. I think back to some of the major mistakes that I've made in my life. And those mistakes were made because I did not take time to really hear from God on them. And those kind of mistakes, they follow you a long, long time. Without doubt. Until we know God's voice and how to hear Him speaking, we are conscious of an instability in our Christian service. In multitudes of cases, our difficulty is not unwillingness to go here or do this or say that, but uncertainty as whether God is telling us to do that. The lack in our prayer life is not so much a lack of zeal or failure to ask, but rather a lack of faith and assurance in asking. We don't know how to pray as we ought, it says in Romans. But the opposite is manifest in Scriptures. Again, the men of faith. They had clear direction. And they followed it. And the Bible says, by faith, they did those things. Such as the Lord said to Moses. Or Paul heard a voice speaking to him. Or the Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas. You know, over and over again. And very specifically, Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send, He will do what? He will comfort you. What else? He will guide you. He will guide. One of the specific purposes of the giving of the Holy Ghost was to guide you. God wants to guide you. He wants to be the one to guide your life. He wants to give you specific direction. He wants to. Are you listening? Is He able to? Or am I so full of my own ways that I can't hear? Jesus Himself said, the words that I speak not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me. And this brings it down to my level. This puts guidance within my reach. This puts guidance within your reach. You can. So many times we think, well, if Jesus were only here, I'd talk to Him and ask Him. But no, He gave us the Spirit to guide us. And He wants us to be guided. This important fact brings guidance within my reach and to all believers. Much more could be said. Basically, very simply here in this could be a whole message in itself, but I'm going to give it very quickly. You must be committed to doing
what God says. Your will must be yielded to God, and you must be committed to do what God says to do. I think of Peter out there fishing. Have you caught any fish? No. Put your net down the other side. What was Peter's response? At thy word. At thy word. Is that the condition of your heart? Are you ready that when the Lord speaks to you, that His word, you will do it at thy word? And that is one of the prerequisites to hearing from God, to walking in by faith in this area. At thy word. We examine ourselves to make certain that our objective is His glory and that we're ready to do all that He says. Then we recognize and utilize the mind in its rightful position. And this is where people get confused. Some put too much emphasis on the human reason. Common sense. Well, common sense says this. But how often does common sense travel side by side with the Spirit of God? Sometimes. But sometimes the Spirit of God travels in a very different road than the common sense does. And so we confuse common sense with the voice of the Lord. Others, too little, turning from it as a carnal thing and attempting to find guidance from an emptied mind. The truth is that the human reason, the human mind, the human reason is preeminently a useful servant, but was not created to be the one that makes the decision. Your mind, the reason, is a very good servant to gather data, information, to analyze things and think about things. And we look at our situation, I need direction here. Well, what does the Bible say? And what is the circumstance? And we actually use our reason to look at that. The reason is the great sorting house, not the sorter or not the decision maker. Its function is to investigate and theorize and memorize, but not to direct. That is the function of the Spirit in the regenerated life. Sanctified reason remains the noble endowment by which man can contemplate and expound the heights and depths of the divine mysteries. But direction leading to decision is to be found in the renewed Spirit, the dwelling place and throne room of the Holy Ghost. Moses said, I have not done these things of my own mind. He didn't use his own reason to make decisions. The reason is to be used through fool, but not abused. It is to be the instrument of guidance, but not the guide. We examine our situation. We know all we can about it. We let the Scriptures throw light on it. We look at what Paul did and Peter and James and so forth. But we don't make the decision. We allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, to guide us. God wants to guide His people. Once we've filled our mind with all the facts of our decision, what about this, what about that, then we deliberately turn to Christ. And we deliberately stop thinking about that whole thing. When God speaks, He speaks to us in stillness. We settle our mind. We don't allow ourselves to be agitated. We settle our mind, come to a place of peace and rest. And then we wait on the Lord. We wait on the guiding Spirit of Christ. God wants to guide you, brother. God wants to guide you, sister. He does. In every situation. And it is then that the voice of God can be heard. Our inward attitude is at peace and rest. And then we wait for the Lord to speak. We do not attempt to strain for an answer. We don't make one up. We wait like little children, free from concern, free from urge, but refusing to act until we know. We maintain that we have a right to know because as servants, we are His servants, and one thing that a servant has a right to is orders. Right? Servant doesn't know his master's will necessarily. Servant just does what the master says.
And we're servants. Our attitude is that of servants for Him. And so we maintain we have a right to know what He wants me to do. Beautiful. Then as we wait, the Lord speaks. Or conviction comes. Doesn't matter how it comes, as long as it comes. Sometimes circumstances arrange themselves in such a way that it's clear to walk through. Maybe God will give a verse from His Scripture, from the Word. Or maybe He will specifically speak to us. I believe fully God wants us to learn to walk by faith. And this is one area to exercise faith. And I encourage you, look at the examples of God's people in the Word of God. Some men, they weren't sure if God spoke them or not. Others were certain, and they were able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, my time is up. I know that the things that I've shared this morning is strong meat. I know it's very deep. And I know that you probably won't be able to grasp, put your arms around all that was said. But my heart is, my question to you is, are you wanting to be changed from glory to glory? Are you wanting to grow in this area of faith? I know I do. No, I don't have aspirations of being a great man, known as a great man of faith. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I want to walk in a daily reality of the invisible, of the eternal, and allow that to be the guiding factor of my life. I don't want to be guided by the external, by the visible, in many areas. One of the areas that God is working in my life as of now is in the area of faith, in the area of a relationship with someone, a difficult relationship. But it's because God has given me a word that I'm able to exercise faith and walk forward in faith, knowing that God is going to bring it to pass. But that word was given months ago. But that word is still there. And that word is still alive. And I'm looking forward to the fulfillment of it. That's so important. And if it wouldn't be for that word that I heard from God on this specific issue months ago, it would be very difficult for me to walk it out in the next step ahead of me. But because God has spoken, I know He has spoken to me, I'm able to continue mixing that word which God spoke to me with faith, believing it to come to pass, proclaiming it as reality. That's what I'm talking about. So, if I have been hard to understand this morning, if I've gone way too deep into the ocean this morning, please forgive me. But my encouragement, my desire is to stimulate your heart. Stimulate your life. Stimulate you to a walk of faith. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Look at God's Word. So God bless you richly. Shall we kneel for prayer? Father, I commit this body, these saints into Your hand, and beseech You, Father, that by Your mercy and by Your grace, You would look upon us, and that as the Word of God is preached, that the hearts would hear, and that there be an exercise of faith in every heart today, as Your Word is preached. A desire to grow closer to You. A desire maybe stimulated to be quickened by Your Spirit. Father, I pray to the quickening of every soul here today by Your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your principles. Father, we've seen this issue of faith for a long, long time. I've looked at it for a long time, and I've always wondered, and I'm still wondering, Lord. I'm far from where I want to be, God. But I trust you, and I believe that you are working in my life and in my brothers and my sisters in this area of faith. Lord, help us to open our hearts one to another. Help us to share the struggles. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to speak words of life one to another, that we may be strong and mighty before you, our God. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing God's word, Emmanuel. The thought that came to me as you were sharing was the difference between the what we might call the name it and claim it, or faith movement people, and Norman Grubb. Norman Grubb was a missionary. Norman Grubb was C.T. Studd's son-in-law. And then he went on to be the leader of the worldwide evangelization crusade. The context of what you shared, them waiting for guidance and waiting on the Lord, was, God, we want your glory to be seen all through the earth. We don't want to go our own way. We don't want to just have a good idea. We don't want to just go to a field here or do this there. So the context was the glory of God. It wasn't about where I feel like maybe the faith movement has gone off. Self, riches, stuff that makes me feel good or for me. And so the context is very different. He was a man consumed with the glory of God and the work of God. And so he saw in the Bible what God had said he was going to do in the earth. And he, with his people, gathered together to be instruments that God could bring it to pass. So I just thought it'd be good to mention that, you know. And I have some thoughts, but I thought I'd open it up to you all here this morning. First, I'd like to hear if God has quicken something to you this morning. Maybe it's a testimony you want to share. Maybe it's an example of how God did something in your life. Or maybe God's spoken to you something today and you want to declare it to us. Is there anybody who would like to have a testimony?
I was tremendously blessed this morning, Brother Emmanuel. Thank you so much. I feel like this was one of the most inspiring Sundays I've been to for a long time. It just really met the need of my own heart, the need of our family. We've been seeking the will of God concerning His direction for us. But my mind also went to something that Brother Ross, who's with us today, shared with me when we were in Ghana. I think this is last year, as we sat together and shared. He brought out a very beautiful truth that we're very familiar with in Proverbs chapter 3. And I've never forgotten that, and I think that it'll stay with me for the rest of my life. It was so simple, yet so profound. Out of the scripture that we read many, many times in Proverbs chapter 3, let's see, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes." You know, Brother Ross broke that verse down, I think, to the real meaning of it. If we acknowledge God in all of those little areas of our life, and we give all of those areas to God and say, "Lord, you have absolute sovereignty over this area. You are Lord over this area." We acknowledge Him in all of those small paths of our life. He'll direct the main course of our life. He'll guide us. The main course of our life will flow in the vein of what He wants to do with us. And we've really found a tremendous rest and peace in that. Just knowing that we don't understand it all. We don't see the future. We don't know what God wants of us to every detail. But if we just give God what we're dealing with right now, if we're faithful in these small things, and we allow Him to have His way in these small areas of our life, He'll guide the main course of our life. And that's such a real blessing to us. And Brother Emmanuel, there's a lot that I don't understand about faith, and I feel like there's so much more height to gain. But I was really inspired with the vision that you lifted up before us to really seek the will of God. And once we see the direction God wants us to go, to step out in faith, and God will, He won't let us down, but He'll be there to strengthen us and guide us. Thank you.
Amen. And that doesn't contradict what Emmanuel is lifting up of faith, because we're taking that word in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and we're living on that, and we're believing that. There's a time to do that. Wilmer.
Yes, I'm very excited here this morning. In fact, I'm shaking all over. Been praying very specifically for help, and I very much felt like I needed help, needed further insight in my spiritual life, and the Lord sent someone into my life this last week, and He asked me some very pointed questions, and I just praise God that He did. Some things that I'd like to share here is in Acts 1:2. By the way, while being the Amish church, they always warned us against revelations. They said it's too deep and we shouldn't go in it too deep. I was never afraid of revelations, but I've discovered this week that unconsciously I have been avoiding Acts because of the charismatic movement. I always just kind of blocked it out and really didn't want to go there. Unconsciously, I didn't realize it till my eyes were open this week. And this brother told me, he said, you don't want to miss the Holy Ghost. Don't allow the charismatic movement in your area to allow you to miss the Holy Ghost. And I started seeing some things, and I can say today, I can truly say that Acts has become, in 1 week, my favorite book. I am just so excited. One of the things that I read there was in Acts 1:2, which confirms what Emmanuel said, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles which he had chosen. The same Holy Ghost, the Comforter, that He wanted to send us. He wanted to go so that Comforter can come. Through that same Holy Ghost, He gave the commandments, which we now have today. Another place that really took my attention was in Acts 19:2. He said unto him, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? It says, since ye believed. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said that he baptizes in water, but he that comes afterwards will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And one thing that came clear to me this week was, if we spread some or cast some fire upon someone, or if there's fire cast upon someone, he becomes alive. He doesn't just stand there. He moves. In fact, he becomes unglued. He moves. And I know that for a fact in working inside equipment in very tight quarters, welding, and you have a hot piece of metal coming down through. it gets under your shirt. You think you're in a tight spot, you can't move, but you will move when that fire comes down on you like that. So I began to think on, so if we are baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and we don't move, is there any wonder that it stops? Because it'll only hurt us. So, just an encouragement for us all. Have we received the Holy Ghost? Are we moving when the fire falls upon us?
I want to give testimony today. Two different thoughts that I have. One is a very personal one, and the other is more a thought about faith and the message. I want to bless you, Brother Emmanuel, for this message, but a lot more than this message, for a life that has modeled out faith to me in my formative years and still today. There were two times this past year where Brother Emmanuel wrote me a letter about faith that was very instrumental in my Christian walk. And thank you. Thank you for that. On a more spiritual note, in my younger Christian walk, I thought that the enemy or the opposite of faith is doubt or unbelief. But I've now come to believe that while doubt or unbelief is another choice that we have to walk in instead of faith, that the greatest enemy in my life towards faith and walking in faith is my own reasoning or my own rational mind. In other words, when I read in the Word of God, if your enemy smites you on one cheek, give him the other cheek also. The greatest enemy to me walking in that is when I start thinking about how this is going to work. Or when the Word of God says to me that he that loses his life will save it. My own rational mind cannot embrace that. So I have to choose faith. I can also choose, you know, doubt and unbelief. But to me, the greatest enemy of faith is reasoning. And God is teaching me not to rely on the arm of flesh, that is my own reasoning or my own sound mind, but to let my mind be regenerated by believing to walk by faith even when it doesn't make sense. God knows what he's doing. So I praise the Lord.
Here's another one for you from the Word of God. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. How's that for our rational minds? For you are dead. Brother Heath.
This morning, we weren't sure how we could be here in time to pray with you all in the beginning, providing that we would move slowly and peacefully. And we've had those mornings where we didn't move slowly and peacefully, and things don't go well that way. And so I was trying to endeavor saying, no, we're going to move slowly and peacefully, and we're still going to make it in time. And if we don't make it in time to pray, that's fine. But that's been our goal. And so we were getting ready to eat, and we were praying, and I just felt that there was this heaviness of confusion and mistrust. And I said, the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit was not present at that moment in our life. There was just, it wasn't there. But I, by faith, believed on the promise of God. I said, no, Christ is in us. The fruit of the Spirit is part of our life. And so, by faith, I believed on it, and that's exactly what it was. I mean, I felt God move, and I looked at my wife and I said, you know, it is evident, the fruit of the Spirit is here. And so we did have a peaceful time from that moment forward. It was a blessing. I think that was, I was thankful that I was able to recognize that and then believe on that promise.
It was a blessing to have you in the prayer meeting too. Praise God. Did we have another hand in the back there?
Yeah, I'd have to say that it was a privilege to be here this morning. My thoughts are many and a bit disorganized, but I just couldn't help but be impressed with the fact that this morning that God ordered this church service. If we would just ponder a little bit, when our brother Ellison stood before us and gave us the account of the life of Jacob and how long it took Jacob after he had made this deal with God before God could bring him back into the land of promise that he had promised to Abraham. Jacob went for 21 years serving himself, basically, while still having that promise before him. It wasn't until he was headed back, when God called him to come, that God had brought him to the place where he could bring him to that night of wrestling where Jacob would give up. And then he could send him across the river into the land of promise. And I just had to think then as I watched the children's lesson, you know, we are very grateful for the sweet things God sends into our lives. But how very true it is that those things do not make for a complete cookie. It takes the bitter things in life to make something that's blended together, that becomes something that is, shall we say, fruit for God, something God can enjoy. With that backdrop, we have what Emmanuel gave us today. And if we have that backdrop first, and we can bring ourselves to the place where we're willing to let God do those things, I think we would know the reality of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, God, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that is working in us. You know, if you look at that account where the disciples said to Jesus, increase our faith, He said, it's almost like He sort of set that aside a little bit. He said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would be so. And I just had to stop and think, a tree planted in the sea? The sea is water. Nothing is planted in the sea, but He said it would be so. Then He goes on to say, but which of you, having a servant, that comes in from the field after having worked all day and having served a master, still that servant realizes that the master is to be served first, then he gets to eat. What's our attitude before God when we come, expecting God to do great things for us or through us? I just think the service so beautifully laid that out for us to receive what Emmanuel had to say to us. We need to receive the opening, and I think the children's lesson too, do we not? May God be praised and glorified in us in the ways that we heard today.
Amen. Amen. Brother Ross.
Yeah, I was very blessed with the whole service today, and the message spoke to my heart. I believe it was of God, and I believe it was biblical. Part of me doesn't want to say that because it did prick my conscience, and I see areas where I don't measure up. I've been longing for more of a walk of the Spirit and a walk of faith, and more of a reality of the resurrected Christ in my life. And I know that this message is a key, and I thank God for it. And I think we have a choice as we hear a message like this. You know, part of me would like to deny it and say, no, that's radical, that's charismatic, that's, you know, but it was biblical. And I just need to bow my heart before God and say, God, I'm not there yet, but I'm not going to say it wasn't truth. I want it.
Amen.
That is my confession.
Amen. That's my heart too. And you know, let's not just let this go. We heard the word today, right? Like Emmanuel shared, like the word says, we have to mix it with faith. That doesn't happen necessarily here this morning. That's going to happen in the days to come. And it's so easy to forget what we heard. It's so easy to go eat lunch somewhere today and talk about other things. But let's let this thing percolate in our hearts. Let's let it come to pass. Let's let it, you know, it takes some effort. It doesn't just happen. And so that's our challenge. Brother Mel?
Yeah, I was just reading this week in Deuteronomy 30. And you know, Emmanuel spoke a lot this morning about mountains being removed by faith. Well, here in Deuteronomy 30, it talks about the commandments of the Lord. Verse 10, it says, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul." And then in verse 11 to verse 14, it's interesting how the commands of the Lord are also worked out. It says here, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh thee in thy mouth and in thine heart that thou mayest do it." That just spoke to me again. You know, I read about the word of faith, you know, going with the commandments of the Lord as well, as we consider walking out something that the Lord has commanded us. It's very near us, even in our mouth and in our heart, that we may do it and fulfill that command.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Aaron.
I thank the Lord for the message today, and it spoke to my heart. And I thank you, Brother Emmanuel, for sharing that word with us. And I want to very purposefully receive it and let it speak to me. I want to encourage us as a congregation, let us receive the word of the Lord. Beware, because after the word of God is sown, then cometh the enemy to snatch it away. Maybe if you heard one little thing that you might have a temptation to say, I'm not sure if that was doctrinally correct. Be careful that we don't just dismiss the whole message and lose what God wants to do in our hearts.
Amen.
I believe there's many things God wants to take me deeper in and us as a congregation, that His glory may be seen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I'm not a novice to faith because I'm married to a man that has spent a lot of his life teaching on faith. I've listened to him teach on faith, and I've read many things he's written about faith, and I've sat in endless counseling rooms where he just pressed through with faith and focused on faith, and so I love the subject of faith. And once I even teased my husband and said, I think faith is by far your favorite subject, and he said, no, Jesus is my favorite subject, but faith comes really close because it accesses us to Jesus. So I really have enjoyed the faith walk. And one of the interesting things to me about faith is God is very much like this, isn't it? It's vibrant and exciting while still being peaceful and restful. And I just heard today a deeper level of faith, and I can see that God wants me to press into a higher level of faith, and I really want to, so I thank God for the message, and I thank Him how He pressed in on Brother Emmanuel to press in on us. And
amen.
I sure want to be a part of it. I want to grow in that area.
Amen. Amen. Okay, are we done?
I just wanted to give a testimony of what God showed me this week. Wednesday, I was at work, and I had a situation that came up at work, and I work as a nurse, and a medication happened to come up missing when I was at work, and it was kind of a serious situation, and another nurse came in that afternoon, and in her attitude toward me, it was kind of like she was accusing me of taking the medication, and which I didn't know how it came up missing. I was honest. I said, I don't know what happened. And my emotions started to get a hold of me. It was like I just didn't know how I was going to handle the situation. So I went to my my boss and just was upfront and honest. I said, I don't know what happened to it. I said, I know what I did, but I said, I don't know what happened to it. I said, the medication, I don't know if it was there when I was working. I don't know. And my boss was very kind to me, and he said, we all make mistakes. And he says, I'm not worried about it. He says, nurses, he says, I don't know how you do what you do with all the things that go on during the day. And he says, if it was a pattern, then he said, we'd look at it and see, you know, if there's something going on. But he said, I'm not worried about it. But I still went home, and I was just like, it just kept working on me. It's like, God, I don't know what happened to it. I don't know. I don't want to think that I did make a mistake, but I said, I don't know. And I kept thinking about it, and I thought, my boss, he was so merciful to me, you know, just saying, you know, I'm not worried about it. Don't worry. And I thought, God is so much more merciful to me than that. And it's like, I was just so thankful and just praising him. And then I opened up my Bible, and I was reading in Romans 10:3, and it was talking about how the Israelites were trying to establish their righteousness. And I thought, God, that's what I was doing. I was trying to establish my righteousness before my boss and everyone. And I confessed it, and I was so convicted, and I just thank God for what he showed me this week.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.